Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Michael Kay Show.
Let's go to Jose in Queens.
Don, how do you think Mets fans feel about you throwing a pitch for Yankees AA affiliate?
Don't care. I mean, I had a fun time with my family. I've been going to Patriot games before they were affiliated with the Yankees. They play in the town that I live in. So am I supposed to now just disregard going there? No, absolutely. If a Mets fan has got a problem with it, they go scratch. Scratch till it bleeds.
An Atlanta Braves affiliate. Come on.
It's minor league baseball, brother. I'm not getting crazy. It's just a fun atmosphere. Watch fireworks after the game. Take my kids to a game without having to get gouged $50 for parking. I could park in the Target parking lot and have a good time with my family. If a Met fan has a problem with it, stick your head in a fire.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It is aggressive. He's an aggressive man.
But it was deserved.
Well played.
I don't think Michael agrees, Peter.
About what?
I think Michael agrees with the people who believe that I'm a fraud.
No. I told you what I felt. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but you're denigrating them when there is a semblance of legitimacy in what they're saying.
I don't think so.
All right, fine. I don't think so either, but there's a semblance of legitimacy.
Yes, semblance. That's like
because you're embracing the Yankees. That's okay. I understand they're a great organization, and you should. Maybe you're smarting up.
But if they were the Padres, if they were the Cuban national team, it could have been. If it was Target had a team, if it was a high school league, it has nothing to do with who the team is run by.
If you believe there's a semblance of truth to it, then you probably believe there's a semblance of truth that I'm a fraud, that I'm on the S network.
No, they carry this is for money. Games.
But what's the difference between money and...
There's a big difference between money and pleasure.
No. Or taking my family now to a game and enjoying myself. Now, if I scored the game and I've got, living and dying with the team, and that became my favorite team and I'm watching every game, you can say, well, that's odd that he would be just so invested in a Yankee AA team. But for a guy that just enjoys the experience and the kids enjoy baseball and hanging out with my family, as you outlined, Michael, it's difficult to just get a night off and drop everything and do something. So to be able to do that on a Saturday night with my family, it's the same as, trying to earn money, whatever is good for my family. So that's why I think that if you believe that there's a semblance of truth that I'm a fraud, then I should have turned down this job working with, even Michael Kay, even agreeing to work with
100%.
Michael should make me a fraud because he's the Yankee announcer.
See, now you're just expanding this to ridiculousness.
No, it started out as ridiculousness.
You grew up a Devils fan.
Yes.
And when the Rangers offered you the gig, what did I tell you? You're in this is the real world, Don.
Yeah.
You're earning a living from this. Of course you take it. So money is different.
No, but money's not different. Money is contributing to what's good for my family. And I think taking my family out for a good time is also important in
but I could
in
get you tickets
life.
To a Yankee game if you want to go to a big league game.
But it's also a much different experience. It's farther away,
But
not
still, you want
me to
throw
the first
pitch out at Somerset, and it's an hour and a half away from where I live.
Now, here, you want to know something that we can all get on the same page behind?
What's that?
The yo-yos who run back after this, Funhouse.
You know what? We're starting to think alike.
I got to say
Well, it's not yo-yos. It's one person.
Yeah, he's a
who
yo-yo.
Who has dedicated a good portion of his life fun of a guy who's in the Hall of Fame.
Well, his professional life is living with his head up Francesa's ass. I mean, that's his literally. Someone say, hey, what do you do for a living? He go, I live in Mike Francesa's, his crevice. But real quick.
I don't think that's right.
I don't think he does. He lives to make fun of Mike Francesa.
He lives to destroy him.
Well, yeah, but it's also it's his entire well-being also. I mean,
I don't know what the guy does professionally.
It's a great point. You know what?
He could be a doctor.
He could be a doctor. He could be a lawyer.
He could be a brain surgeon.
He's actually not the point of this, but he put up a thing that said, which one would hate being roasted more, Don? And he posts a picture of Kay and Francesa. And overwhelmingly, the comments say Michael would hate it more.
Well, I saw it too. And I started to think, well, most of the people that follow back after this are Francesa acolytes. So they hate me. So, but it does, to even ask the question to me is weird because I've been roasted twice.
Yes, I was at
the Yogi Museum.
Remove that. Remove the fact you've actually been roasted. You get roasted on your own show every day. I mean, you literally get made fun of by your co-host every single day.
Yeah, read some of the comments. It's amazing. Oh, definitely Kay. So Kay is thin skin. When somebody said, well, Kay's awful at this. But if you say Kay has a huge head, Kay's all, I mean, the stuff that you do in roast, I would be delighted. I love to laugh. I think it's great. I thought Peter was the roast master, I believe, at the Yogi Museum, right?
Oh, yeah, sorry. That was at both of them. That's right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it was
fun. And then the before we even knew Peter, they had it at Tavern on the Green in Manhattan. Fordham did. My uncle was there.
Your mom was there.
My mom was there. Yeah. My mom got upset.
She
did. But I think it's great.
I mean, it just shows. Here's the thing. I know. And this isn't, you know, I feel bad. I take it back. Maybe back after this, he's a great guy and he doesn't live with his head up, you know where. That's fine. But it does go to show, though, how little for someone like he, considering his life, so much of his life on social media is about covering this man. No one knows the reality of like the behind the scenes that like Michael Kay is a totally approachable guy. And Mike Francesa, most of his career was not. Everyone hated interacting with him. That's like not a known thing. He never treated people that great. Like, it's one thing. Like, you guys don't know that Kay's a nice guy in real life and can handle jokes. People are just so dumb. Just listen to our show.
But see, that's what I've always said, and you guys disagree with me. People don't know me at all. I mean, people have a completely
different... But it's your fault. I blame you.
How is it my fault?
I blame you.
I don't put on an act on this show. This is who I am.
I know, but maybe it's the fact that, Don, maybe on the air, like when Michael gets uptight or angry or yelly about the Yankees, maybe that ends up like being the main thing people take away instead of all the other time when we're joking with each other and giving you a hard time and you're going right back and forth. Things that, I mean, God bless him. You can love the man's show. Francesa never would have done that.
But here's the issue.
Here's the issue.
People only know Mike Francesa from Mike and the Mad Dog. I mean, maybe some of the real old school guys remember him covering college basketball and football for CBS. But for the most part,
and
99% of the people know him from being a talk show host in New York, which means they listen to the show and they know him as that. There's a lot of people that hate Michael that never listen to this show, and that's why they don't listen, because they hate him because he's the Yankee announcer and they're a Met fan and they just hate the Yankees. So it's coming from a place of not knowing. So the answer is, Peter, yeah, these people that are saying Michael wouldn't handle it, they don't listen to the show or certainly don't consume it the way they consume with Mike Francesa, because they only know Mike as the talk show host. And that's where they formulate their opinion, whether they love him or hate him. There's a large percentage of people that have formulated their opinion on Michael that never listened to the show.
You're right,
because of him doing the Yankee game.
You're right, because half of these comments are about him being Yankee boy. So these are like bitter Mets fans or Yankee haters.
Fans that don't like me.
Or Yankee fans who don't like you, sure.
But I've been roasted twice. There were no punches thrown. I didn't go home and cry.
Oh, you
I
loved it.
Because I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
If you get it, and honestly, you know, no, I don't know Mike well, but we worked together. I think he'd enjoy being roasted too. I mean, there is an honor to it. Now, I don't think you'd want to be roasted by a bunch of strangers coming up and screaming at you, but to have other famous people roast you, there's an honor to that. That's why I always laugh, like, oh, he really handled that well. Of course he... First of all, Tom Brady was the executive producer of it, so he knew it was coming for the most part. But it is an honor to be roasted. Nobody's don't get roasted.
Now, well, yeah, in that sense, sure, yeah.
I can't comment on whether or not Mike would like it, but I would love it. I would love, again, the person who didn't like it, the roast at Tavern on the Green, because my mom was starting to, you know, she ended up having dementia at the end of her life, and there was signs of it then, and she got really hurt and was really upset at the people that made fun of me. And that made me sad. I was trying to tell Ma, it's just, you know, whatever.
My mom wouldn't like it.
Yeah, but
I thought it was great. Your mom would hate it. In fact, if you invited your mom to go to said thing, Don, I'd say you were a bad son.
Yeah, that's a bad call.
You can't. And by the way, it was a bad call by you, Michael. It'll be a worse call by you, Don. I mean, that she knows she would hate it.
Now, we're talking about this, and back after this was talking about it, because, you know, the Brady roast. Now, Don didn't consume the Brady roast because he doesn't care about Tom Brady. I was mesmerized. I love comedy. I love roast. I think they're great because, you know, the woke nonsense is gone. I mean, they said some stuff on this show that you couldn't believe that they did. And I'm glad. The country has to loosen up a little bit. But here's the next question. Don, you're the king of the list. And Peter, you can do list as well. Top five athletes that you'd like to see roasted that would be really good. Mm. I got one because of a lot of material.
Go ahead.
A-Rod.
I don't think he'd enjoy that, by the way.
Yeah, but it's not my point whether he enjoys
it. I know. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not going to count it.
Yeah, A-Rod would be terrific.
Jordan would be great.
Jordan would be good, yeah.
There's a lot there.
I don't think he'd care for it either.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he'd be either. A big fan, no.
Yeah, because you need material like Jeter.
Barkley?
Barkley's almost like
been roasted. He might have been roasted.
Yeah, it's almost like too obvious, but like he is still good.
Got to be another baseball.
What about Magic Johnson? On the other side, just of how like kind of lovable he is, but like I could see him being a great sport about it.
Yeah, he would be. That's not a bad one, Peter.
I think Magic would be a lot, and he's so beloved.
I got one.
Yeah.
You ready? A-Ron. Rodgers.
I mean, there's a lot of material. A lot. That's not a bad one either.
I got one that Peter would like.
Okay.
How Tyson? About El Tigre?
If he was up for it at this stage in his life. A Mike Tyson roast would be good.
I thought there was one.
He's been a part of other people's roasts.
He's
ended up getting roasted. Like he did the Charlie Sheen one, for example.
Oh, maybe that was it.
And so he got roasted, but it wasn't his roast.
Now, listen, all these, and I've been watching clips during the commercial break. And what Nikki Glaser did to Hart was
oh Hart, yeah,
yeah.
She called him 15 Cent.
It was really, because other people get roasted too, so they're funny. But like, if you're a connoisseur of it, and you go back to the old days, the old time ones, Michael, the Dean Martin ones are.
I used to love those. Even as a kid, I loved the whole art form.
You know, and Muhammad Ali would be on there. And they throw stuff at Muhammad Ali all the time. So he would be a good one. I don't know if they ever actually had him. They might have, Michael. I think they did.
I'll look it up. But I don't look at YouTube, so I can't.
But, yeah, it's unfortunate. So Drew Bledsoe told the Lebatard show today that Brady did, in fact, shut down the Robert Kraft slander.
You know, and if that was legitimate, and Bledsoe saying it was, I could see that. He probably convinced Kraft to come, and he probably told him nobody's going to mess with you.
But the only way that he got upset about it, he had to convey that message to everybody.
Right.
And that it was broken, and that's why he got ticked off. And I can understand that.
The fact that his ex-wife was just abused. And he was abused because of it, too. And even Bridget Moynihan. None of that stuff was off limits, but Robert Kraft's massage was off limits.
But I think you probably hit the nail on the head, is that was probably, he's coming here, he's not going to be here if he's going to be targeted. So maybe that was a concession that was made. But if you're a true roaster, you can't go in there with rules.
Like if Brady said you can't talk about Giselle, I don't know if you could roast them then. I mean, it has to be some lanes for you.
Yeah, but you
but
had
Robert
to
Kraft
know.
Wasn't being roasted. He didn't really roast
anybody. I know,
anybody.
But you got to figure a Tom Brady roast that Orchids of Asia was going to get brought up.
If you're the
executive producer, you probably said, all right, guys, all bets are off. Do whatever you want. But this one thing I got to ask you, because Robert Kraft is coming. He's not being roasted. You got to lay off that.
How about Kevin Hart getting Kraft and Belichick to do a shot together? Belichick looked like he threw up in his mouth, but I thought he was a great sport. I thought he was great.
He was great in general.
You said it during our pregame meeting, Peter.
What?
I mean, have you ever seen a turn like Bill Belichick?
I never in a million years, as someone who just despised the man, would have thought there'd be anything entertaining to come from Bill Belichick. And he's been entertaining in everything that he's done.
Now, how about this? Plenty of material, but I'm not sure he'd be a fan. Brett Favre.
They had a joke about
too much
Brett
material.
Favre. Did you hear that joke, Peter?
No.
They said, you know, we've been doing this a long time back when Brett Favre would actually fax pictures of his. Instead.
Wow.
Yeah.
But remember, it's gotten so much worse for Favre even since then.
Yeah.
I mean, now he did really bad stuff. Like, I just don't know, Don. I think he's kind of crossed the lexicon of laughing.
Aaron Hernandez was also supposedly his fiance, ex-fiance. She's very upset.
Oh, you think? I wouldn't have watched that. I would not have recommended watching that show. They made jokes about his death constantly.
Now, because Strawberry is, you know, very religious, and you know him a lot better than I do. Do you think Strawberry would be a good sport?
Yes, he would. He'd be great because he's not pious, let's put it that way. He's not holier than thou. He's spreading the word, but he has an unbelievable sense of humor.
You know who's not an athlete, but in our world and would be hilarious to see roasted, and I think he'd be a good sport, and God knows he'd be honored by it, would love the attention? Stephen A. The roast of Stephen A. would be great.
It would be.
And that could happen. I mean, he's a big enough name.
Absolutely. The roast of Stephen A. Smith with athletes, other media people, comedians would be fantastic.
Well, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jeff in Garden City. Jeff.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Jeff. Oh.
Hey, Jeff.
You know, I'm glad you brought it back to the roast here. You know, and I'm really, you know, sports, all sports aside, you know, big fan, Michael. You and I are around the same age. You know, when I look historically at the great sports athletes that have been roasted, obviously Billy Crystal and Howard Cosell roasting Muhammad Ali, he's a great sport. He was bigger than even his boxing abilities. He was a massive celebrity, and he had a great sense of humor. You talk about, believe it or not, Mel Allen, early in the days at the Friars Club, was roasted, as was Leo DeRocha. And so there are many. And as I started to listen to your list about, you know, number one, you have to have a really good sense of humor. That's why I say people like Peyton Manning are the epitome of a sports athlete getting roasted, because there's so much more who they are. And I find
Did you watch the roast yesterday, Jeff?
I did.
I thought Manning was unbelievable how funny he was.
Yeah, and I think that, and I know you're, I hope you don't cut me off too soon, but here's the thing about Brady. He's an amazing football player beyond anyone's wildest imaginations. It's great. But to some degree, and hear me out, that's what he is. He's not on TV. He's not announcing games. He's not a Barkley. He's not a Shaq. He's not a Stephen A. He's not in that area where there's some, I see him smile because he's in a great mood. And yes, there's material about his ex-wife, and maybe the Kraft thing was here. But, you know, when you go on that show, no holds barred. That's the way it is. Everybody remembers Don Rickles. Jeff Ross is apparently the heir apparent to him. But roasting Tom Brady, it's a great roast, but other people get roasted too while they're there. You know, Don Rickles did it to Dean Martin, did it to Frank Sinatra, did it to Stephen Eady. They were on the dais along with the quintessential, I forget the gentleman's name. He was always acting like he was an alcoholic.
Foster
and drunk.
Brooks.
Forget
Foster
his name.
Brooks. Yeah. Foster Brooks.
Right. So, you know, it was a great evening to watch, because I love roasts based on the fact that the comedy is just off the charts. And when he leaned in and he said, don't touch Kraft about it, you know, it is sensitive. But look, Donald Trump has been roasted. Flavor Flav has been roasted. You know, you have to have people who have a sense of humor. They themselves have to be willing to make fun of themselves no holds barred. You know, and the reason, and go ahead.
Jeffrey Ross is old school, where I could see him not agreeing to that, guys, where Brady probably said, don't touch Orchids of Asia, and probably Jeffrey Ross like, listen, we're roasting it. Everything is fair game, but respond any way you want to respond, and I'm going to do it. Like, could it have been that, Michael? Because I just can't imagine Jeffrey Ross going in with rules.
If he said that, I think Tom Brady might have pulled out.
Well, you mean if he told him he was going to do it, he refused to.
Yeah, and because Tom Brady's an executive producer of the show, you know,
it's just an amazing statement.
I didn't even understand when it was happening. I didn't know what was happening.
It's an amazing statement about how Brady feels about Kraft. I mean,
but it's amazing because he left him anyway. He left him.
Well, he left him. Obviously, that really was just a business thing, and he still loves him to death. He cared much more about that than the references to his children and his ex-wife and his ex-girlfriend.
That comes across as bad, too. Again, I think it's got to be no holds barred. That's the only way that it works. But, you know, that's the mother of his children. So, like, if you're not going to stand up for her and you stand up for Robert Kraft, it's a bad look. It had to have been performative.
You know what the weirdest part is to me, Michael? I don't know if you caught this.
But Bledsoe said it wasn't, Don, so we can only go by that. What, Peter? I'm sorry.
The weirdest part to me in terms of Brady's personality or, like, being overly cautious was when Ron Burgundy made the joke, kept calling her Gazelli and messing up her name, and then goes, oh, she's wonderful, she's Spanish, she's from Spain, isn't that right, Tom? And Tom literally just looked at him and went, I don't know. I was like, you can't even say the words, she's from Brazil. He didn't even respond. Like, I'm not even sure. I'm not,
that
not
was
where
weird
she's from.
That was
I was
weird.
Like, this is a guy who there's something about Brady, and it was interesting to see him be a, you know, somewhat normal guy yesterday, but it was so disconnected to me. But
the reason I think, sorry to disagree with Drew Bledsoe, he'd know more than me, but I would think it's performative. It's just like what you said about Michael and I inviting my moms to a roast. Like, if you know it's no holds barred, then wouldn't you have to ask him not to go? Well, if he's sensitive about it being brought up, I can't have it go.
If anybody was going to roast my mom, I would have pulled out. I mean, but me... That nobody roasted her, so I don't think it's equal to that. But
yeah,
I never told the roasters don't pick on my mom. I think that they would know that. But
yeah,
he's not even. They made fun of Tom Brady's sisters.
But and Jeffrey Ross was at the Fordham one, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Wow, I don't remember.
I thought he ran the whole thing. But that's a different format. It's not on television. I mean, there's a reputation that Jeffrey Ross, as the roast master, has to live up to. You can't have rules, right?
Well,
so,
Peter, I know you're good at this because I see on my feed, I've been able to look, Jeffrey Ross was on with Rich Eisen. So maybe it's addressed there. Maybe it'll come out.
Well, I'll look around.
We'll continue to take phone calls. Knicks with a big game one tonight. But Tom Brady, when they said that about Kraft, looked like he was in pain, Don. So what should he have done?
Oh, that's a great question.
I went to go see our friend, Dr. Jay Shai. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let neck, back, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things that you love. It's time to reclaim your active lifestyle. Call our friend, Dr. Jay Shai, today at Samwell Pain. Dr. Jay Shai treats joint, neck, back, sciatica, and nerve pain. Dr. Shai is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, scars, incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shah to take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided procedures without pain medications. Enjoy life pain-free. Same-day and next-day appointments available. Go to samwellpain.com. Put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shah. Go to samwellpain.com now. Regain your active lifestyle. Enjoy all of your favorite activities pain-free. Samwell Pain now has 3 convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand-new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit SamWellPain.com. You will wish you met Dr. Shah sooner. Most major insurance are accepted.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, you know what we should do is we should congratulate Rick and Dave because we all got it wrong. Rick and Dave really pommeled Amani Toomer and Anita Marks in the pickleball tournament. A lot of people showed up. They ended up streaming it, which was a smart move. And Rick took his shirt off. He ripped his shirt off when they won.
Oh, I saw it. Sure, I did.
Yummy. And
well, that's not what I would say, but yeah,
it's not what you said.
And Dave was better than we thought. You know, the thing that we missed with Dave is that he did play tennis in high school, so pickleball is kind of an extension, a little bit of tennis.
Sure.
So he didn't embarrass himself. It's not like he was throwing a ball, which is terrible. And they won. So I think all three of us picked the other team. But congratulations to Rick and Dave.
And they had a great turnout. So congratulations not only to Rick and Dave, but everybody involved with ESPN, and Anita did a great job with the pre-show, and just it's been a really good couple of events for DNR, because they had the Met game last Thursday against the Cubs. They had a tremendous turnout for that. Ended up seeing a great game. Mets came back and won on the Lindor hit. So they've had a nice couple of weeks here. Good for them.
Now, one thing that needs to be noted, it was an impressive performance. The crazy thing about Dave is he hit the ball pretty well. But, Michael, he's like so awkward that even like him celebrating is physically awkward.
Listen, I don't want to rip my friend.
Like, he's like, rah! He celebrates like Howard Dean, Don.
He's not an athlete. Now, he played tennis in high school, just like I played baseball in high school. And that's why I was able to throw the way I did on Saturday. But, you know, the body, we've betrayed our bodies. Let's be honest. We didn't take care of ourselves. But I don't get the sense that he's athletic. But that's okay. He's a great coach.
And he got a great win. Big dub.
Big dub. Good for them. I'm always happy when Rick wins. Because when Rick wins, the world wins.
I don't find that to be the case. I mean, I like Rick, but I like Dave a lot, too.
Well, I like Rick more than Dave. I don't dislike Dave, but I like Rick more than Dave.
Yummy. You hear that? Wow. Yummy. Strange man.
So we mentioned that Jeff Ross was on with Rich Eisen, and he said that Tom Brady was really not mad at the Kraft joke.
So I'm going to believe him.
Was not mad. Is that what you said, Michael?
He was not mad, yeah.
All right, well.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Blanderson Hooper.
There you go.
How's it going, guys?
What's up, Blandy?
I got a point about Brunson, but before I get to that point, I'm 46 years old, so I remember 94 and the Riley years. I remember 99 and the Van Gundy years, and obviously the last 20 or so years have been miserable, to say the least, so much so that my friends and I have, for the last 6 or 7 years, we actually have a Knicks podcast called It's a Hard Knicks Life.
Oh, and so, I like it. Clever.
So to finally see this team winning again and to be excited about this team, to be able to share with my kids who are 13 and 16, I think is great. It's great for the town, and it's just great for New York in general. As for Brunson, earlier in the year, I had spoken to you guys, and I had suggested the idea that maybe Brunson could end up being, or he was on his way to being the best New York point guard since Walt. And you guys rightfully so gave me a little pushback. You talked about Mark Jackson. You talked about Steph Marbury. So my question is, as of now, do you think, does it seem like more of a thing to you? Can you see him, if he keeps up this pace, being basically number two in Knicks history behind Clyde? Obviously, he's got a lot to do. There's still more to go, but could you see that happen?
Well, you're just saying point guard, right? Because Charles Oakley said he's the best Knick since Walt Frazier, and Mark Jackson really answered back angrily. He said, Patrick Ewing's the greatest Knick of all time.
Oakley has a problem with Patrick.
Right, yeah, I'm just talking about a point guard.
If he can, I don't want to give that to him, Blanderson, after just 2 years, although they've been a great 2 years. If he does this for another 2 or 3 years, I think he probably surpasses Marbury, and he probably passed Marbury now, and he definitely surchases Jackson.
But well, I don't the know chip would change everything.
There's nothing he could do that surpasses Walt Frazier. Sorry.
I wouldn't even rule that out. Because if this team won a championship, and you said it, Michael, that this is probably the worst Knick team of the next 3 or 4 years, so they are only going to get better. So they win a couple of championships. That's a lot to ask. But if they were able to figure it out, you don't think he can go up there with Frazier?
Frazier was so great.
Of course he was great. But with Brunson... If he plays another 5 years here and they win a couple of championships in the process,
championships, then you can't rule it out.
I mean, listen, that's a lot to ask, because Clyde's a Hall of Famer and in the championships and all that. So listen, they haven't got out of the second round yet here, so let's not all of a sudden go crazy. But I think because of his age and what he's been able to accomplish, I think there's the potential there, because the championship changes everything, Michael. It just does, especially for a team that hasn't won. So can you imagine how special a Knick championship would be after all these years? Because look what it did for those Rangers. Richter, Messier, Leach, Graves. It elevated them to, superstardom.
It's 51 years.
I don't know if any of those guys outside of Leach, who ended up in the Hall of Fame, would have gotten the same love if they lost to the Devils in the conference final in 94 and never won. But once they've won, they're legend. Michael, you should see the reaction yesterday. It was Glenn Anderson, Adam Graves, Mike Richter. There was a fourth one. The place just, they're 30 years later. The place is, so if they're able to win the chip, it would be unreal how all of these guys will be viewed.
I would agree. Mark Messier never has to buy dinner for the rest of his life in this area, ever. Let's go to Gordon in Rochelle Park.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
What's going on?
Well, how are you guys?
Great.
So?
Good. Listen, I've got a couple things. I did watch Walt Frazier and Earl the Pearl back in the glory days, and nobody was smoother than Walt Frazier. I watch a lot of Brunson, but there's it's a different game back then. But Brunson, I mean, all the flopping and all the hands to the face every time someone comes near you, it's kind of laughable. But listen, Brunson's been great. I don't think, you guys have been fair about the Pacers, and not everyone is right now. But I have to tell you, I watched a lot of the Pacers. I do like to bet on these games occasionally, and when they get on a roll, they're just about impossible to beat.
But that's the key, though, Gordon. The Knicks have to stop them from getting on a roll.
Absolutely, and the Knicks do play great defense, and that is the big drawback for the Pacers. They play terrible defense, but sometimes they'll surprise you, but they do get on these up and down fast break rolls that aren't 5 minutes. They last 2-3 quarters. So the Knicks, they're going to be in for a real tussle here. It's not going to be some cakewalk. And also about Pete Alonso. Listen, I've been a huge Mets fan all my life, and Pete goes into these, you know, if you've watched what you have, he goes into these funks the last couple of years especially. I think he's going to come out of this thing and he's going to start hitting and he's going to start, you know, putting a couple home runs out at a time and doubles and so on. And the average, well, the average may not be what, you know, what we would think is really so terrific, of course, 225, 235. But as far as the power, he's going to do it.
Yeah, but the thing with the average, we can't just dismiss the average. And I'm going to tell you why. If he ends up hitting 210 with 45 home runs, he really expects to get paid what Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson got paid? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Now, there's a certain skill and an incredible value to a home run hitter. But if he wants to like get $40 million a year like Aaron Judge, it's not happening. Because although he's gotten better, he's certainly not a great defender at first. He's going to be, what, 30, Don, when he becomes a free agent?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If Pete got $30 million a year, he should grab it. Because the last thing I want for Pete Alonso is to be sitting there on March 17th next year, just like Boris's clients were this year, and not have a job. Because if he's holding out for Aaron Judge money, he's not getting it.
Well, and also what it would do is really hurt his chances of staying here, because it would feed into the narrative of why I think the Mets are apprehensive to give him a contract.
Right.
So he'll get paid, but he won't get paid what he wants.
Let's go to Alan in Westchester. Alan.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. What's up?
First of all, well, I heard last week you guys were talking, doing the In the Wild stories, and I was trying to get through, and I wanted to give you one, if you don't mind.
Sure, of course. What do you have?
So I'm about Michael's age, and I was about 10 or 12 at the time, so you can do the math. I grew up in L.A. We had season tickets to the Dodgers. And we went to a game against the Cardinals, and Jim Brewer, Dodger closer, hung a screwball that Lou Brock hit about halfway up the pavilion, the bleachers at Dodger Stadium, to win the game in the ninth inning. And there was a guy on second base when he hit the ball. So then my father could see that I was very upset because, you know, as a kid, the Dodgers lost. So he said, hey, you want to get Vin Scully's autograph? So we went up to the top of the press box level, and we waited for Scully to finish, and he came out, and he was very gracious, of course, and he signed our programs. And then we got in the elevator to go down to the parking level, and it was just my family, my sister, my mother, my father, and me, and Scully in the elevator. And Scully wasn't standing. We went to the back, and we were standing behind him and saw his back. And what do you say to Vin Scully, right? In an elevator, he's a legend. It's like being in an elevator with Michael Kay.
I was speechless.
So then suddenly it's totally quiet. Just you could hear a pin drop, and then you see Scully slowly shake his head, and he says, "Never should have pitched to Brock." And then the elevator door opens, and he walks out into the night, and that's my In the Wild story. Wow. Do you guys like it or not?
But you know what? It's a great story, but it's not in the wild. You're at Dodger Stadium.
No. Yeah. That's where Vince Scully's supposed to
be. It's the opposite of the wild. It's a good story, though.
No, it's a very good story. But
I did come up with an In the Wild. I remembered something over the weekend. I was on, remember the old Eastern Shuttle?
Oh, Eastern Airlines.
Eastern Airlines, sure. Eastern Shuttle. And then Donald Trump bought it, become the Trump Shuttle. But it was the Eastern Shuttle then. And I was going to Boston for a Red Sox game, Yankee Red Sox game. And on the flight, sitting like a row behind me, was Jacqueline Onassis Kennedy and Howard Cosell.
That's a nice combination.
How did you leave that out?
Forget that.
Yeah, how do you leave that out of the In the Wild?
Because I didn't have any interaction. I mean, it was with you and Seinfeld. He ran by, he didn't stop him. My mind was like trying to edit things out of like interaction. I didn't have any interaction. All I kept thinking was, God forbid if the plane went down, I'd be and others.
Oh, you would have absolutely been and others.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would have taken many paragraphs to get to you.
I don't even know if I make the cut.
You probably don't.
Because I was a writer then. So.
Oh, my Lord. Nothing. No.
You know what I realized today? I didn't even know this. You know,
what? Tell us.
My In the Wild, it's not a big one, but Peter would appreciate it, was Cornel West. We were on the same flight to Nashville together, and I interacted with him. I didn't even realize today he's running for president. Did you know that?
The fact that you didn't realize it's not going well.
Yeah, I did know that, but that is problematic for his campaign.
Well, yeah, he's running as an independent. I just saw a poll, and I saw he was there.
Well, Kennedy's running as an independent. People have kind of heard of RFK Jr.
Well, right. People know that Cornel West is running.
Yeah, but not the same level of RFK Jr.
Well, all he had to do was have speculation that Aaron Rodgers was going to be his VP. It would have put him in a great spot.
And also a great family name to kind of help when you're running for president. But I didn't know that. But Cornell was very nice.
Hey, don't be the guy with the T-shirt on in the pool this summer. Contact NJ Diet today, and you'll be able to feel confident being shirtless after losing contractually guaranteed 20 to 40-plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva, along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then, NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. Locations throughout the tri-state, or they're available from the comfort of your own home with live online video consultations. Lose weight the natural way, quickly and safely. Call 855-5-NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer without any shots. That's njdiet.com to lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Go to njdiet.com. Lose the weight for good.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, major international soccer is coming to New York this summer. FC Series and Soccer Champions Tour presents Manchester City and AC Milan at Yankee Stadium on July 27th. Enter for your chance to score tickets at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Scroll down the contest, submit your entry. Two grand prize winners will also receive either a Man City or AC Milan jersey. Want some of the best teams in the world? Don't miss out. Get your tickets now at FCSeries.com. Now, you guys know I love ESPN, right?
Oh, big time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes they confuse me.
Hmm.
All right, so Nick's Muse, which I follow, it's a good site on X if you like the Knicks, they pointed this out. So I wanted to point it out to our listeners. ESPN ranks Jalen Brunson as the 15th most valuable player in the first round of the NBA playoffs.
Wait a minute.
Now, how does that make sense?
No.
He scored, as Nick's Muse points out, scored more points than any other NBA player in the first round.
No, he's right now, he should be the favorite to win MVP based on what he did in that first round.
Except
how he played the last four games. And fifth, so there's 14 other players that had more of an impact on the first round of the playoffs than Jalen Brunson. Please, name them.
Wait, hold on. That can't even be but that can't even be possible. It can't even be possible.
Well, it is.
No, you have to be getting pickled.
Yeah, because
No.
This can't wait. Hold on. Read it one more time, Michael.
Oh, I hate. Yeah, Anthony. What are the names of the other 14?
Jokic 1, Edwards 2, LeBron James 3, Kyrie Irving 4.
Stop.
Derek White 5.
Well, how's LeBron 3?
Joel Embiid.
They lost.
6.
That's.
No, Jokic and Edwards, they're above him. All right, go on from there. I'm
Anthony
sorry.
Anthony Davis, 7. Jalen Williams of the Thunder, 8. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 9. Michael Porter Jr., 10. Jason Tatum, 11. Doncic, 12. Harden, 13. Franz Wagner of the Magic, 14.
All right, well, so, okay, can you read what the qualifications were again? Because maybe there was something about that we didn't understand. Go ahead, read it again.
Well, I'm not sure exactly. I'd have to go back and look at the top here.
Because this doesn't even make... Don, unless there's some sort of strange qualification that involves things that nobody knows about...
Like it looks like it's some sort of statistical algorithm.
Consensus wins, which averages a player's value across a number of advanced metrics, combining estimated Raptor box plus minus win shares and player efficiency rating.
Enough already.
Thank you.
See? You know what? And again, I'm going after my own company, but they're just playing to the room.
We suck.
It is almost as if there are a certain amount of people that really want to actually remove all fun from sports and just make it a math class. And if you love math, good on you. But if what they're trying to do is, I'm so much smarter than everybody else, I'm going to tell you while your eyes are betraying you, I'm going to go so deep inside the numbers that you watch the first round of the playoffs and you can come up with 14 players that were better than Jalen Brunson. And you know what? I don't want to be involved in sports anymore if you look at it in that way. It's almost like fine art, right? Somebody vomits on a canvas. Like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like that before. No, the guy threw up on a canvas. Oh, you just don't know because you don't appreciate art. It's like, when you think you're smarter than me, then go enjoy sports. I hated math in school, and if math is now going to become what sports is about, I'm out. I'll become a DJ someplace. Spin records.
Now, speaking of art.
Hate people.
I wanted to ask Peter this before the big 5 o'clock hour, and I'm being totally serious. I try to follow it because, you know, I like pop culture and all that. What is this going on between Kendrick and Drake? Why does it start? Do people actually put records out to like insult the other person?
Well, this would be a tough explain here, but it was a low level sort of cold war over many, many years that was then escalated over the course of a couple of songs where little things got said. And then in the new era that we live in, where like social media, the combination of social media, how easy it is to release music, and how popular hip hop has become, when you add those things up, we got sort of this new version of rap battle that we've never quite seen before, where yes, they are literally making and producing song after song, going back and forth at each other in a matter of days.
But they're saying really salacious things about each other.
Yes, and getting very, very
personal.
Very personal. And that has been a thing for a long time. Like
they're saying that Drake has a secret child. Go even further. And it's not stuff that you would like if you're on the other end of it. It's not roasting.
No, it's beyond roasting. If someone had said in the middle of the roast last night and just called someone a pedophile, I think people would have went, okay, well, this isn't even fun anymore.
Right.
This has gone to that place. Now people are speculating that Drake, who put out a song last night in which it was sort of a lot of like calling out lies and saying, a lot of people thought that Drake's song last night was kind of like crying to the refs, like, hey, this has gone too far. No one's telling the truth anymore. And people think now it's over, that he's kind of was waving the white flag. Don, you remember what was Apollo's manager, who also became Rocky's manager as the Rockies went on?
Oh, well, I know who you're talking about.
Underrated member, but you remember throwing the damn towel.
Yeah,
a lot of people were saying they're getting that energy last night was throwing.
So
the
then
damn
Kendrick
towel.
Won.
That's what it's. I think anyone with a real pulse at this moment believes that Kendrick has won. Or
do they legitimately not like each other as humans?
I would say that's where they're at now. Yes,
yeah,
but it hasn't always been that way.
I think it had always been like a low level not liking or appreciating of each other. Like, you know, Drake brought Kendrick on tour and Kendrick did songs with Drake and they had moments where they had a good relationship. And then at some point things went left. But most notably, if you really want to get deep, you could argue that it's sort of a fight for the soul of hip hop, of like what the whole thing's about. What are you about? What do you stand for? What is your music about? I think that's why Kendrick is so anti-Drake, because I think on a certain level, he just has a disdain for what Kendrick does with his power and his abilities.
Does.
I'm sorry. Kendrick has a disdain
right.
for what Drake does with his power and his abilities. I believe that, yeah.
I hate to see people not get along.
I know. I know. Have you thought about stepping in?
I've thought about it, but I don't think I could, you know, I don't have the avenue to send out my diss track.
Well, you wouldn't want to throw out a diss track. You'd be trying to find unity. This would be more
a unity track.
Yeah, like a We Are the World type of situation, yes. Where you're the Quincy Jones kind of, you will.
So can there be a bunch of people in hip-hop that can produce that kind of We Are the World to try to bring those two together?
I don't think
is there an appetite for that this could be a work.
I've thought about the work. I think now it's officially impossible because once you go into the stuff that both of them have gone into, but particularly with Kendrick laying in these like pedophile claims,
right.
I think that wouldn't that go beyond what Drake was willing to do?
Yes.
Because now you're talking about, I got a fascinating text by a friend of all three of ours. Someone who you would think was not of the generation to care about this.
Billy Crystal.
Not Billy Crystal. Okay. Younger than Billy, older than me, younger than Billy Crystal.
Jack Curry.
Curry would know.
You're in the right wheelhouse, Don, to some degree, but no. But made a really good point, which was that this person said, I think Drake is done as of yesterday because... if nothing else, his corporate connections have probably been like the things that are getting said about you now are going too far. And if any of them stick to you, the Nikes, the NBAs, the people, the NHL, who Drake has a relationship with, all of these places are going to be like, oh, dude, we can't have this stink near us.
Well, I thought I'd explore it. Did I
give you a little bit? Do you feel
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Now you discover.
It still doesn't make sense to me. I mean, are they selling these tracks? Or
yeah, they're streaming. They're actually streaming officially.
Well, to hit a home run, everything needs to line up perfectly. No different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, do what I did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy and help you hit it out of the park. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2x London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right. So visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Mention I told you to stop by and you'll get the Michael K. treatment.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.